Welcome to the Sunday Sit Rep and welcome back to the Prepared Mindset Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Austin. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the Sunday Sit Rep. This is the opportunity I take once a month, typically the first Sunday of every month, right, to talk current events, to talk about some politics, geopolitical happenings, things like that, that are impactful and important to us as Americans, right? Because I'm an American. I know we have several listeners across the pond, all over the world. It's very, very cool. But this is my opportunity once a month so that you guys don't necessarily have to hear the politics in our regular programming throughout the month, our weekly discussions and things on the main podcast, right? This is my opportunity to address current events and those kinds of things going on in the world because it is important, right? As things happen around the globe, as decisions are made by elected officials and leaders and things in various countries, right? Allies and otherwise. That stuff has a huge impact on us here economically and otherwise, right? So we have to talk about it. It's important to talk about it. So certainly got plenty to talk about in this iteration of the Sit Rep. We have major combat operations officially. I'm using like air quotes. I don't know. We've been moving troops. We've been moving resources, right, ahead of any major military escalation. That's always the way it has to work, right? You have to have support in place for your troops. So I'm actually looking at foxnews.com, like breaking big red bar at the bottom of the screen, right? Like major combat operations underway after U.S. and Israel launch a joint attack on Iran. So we're going to like get into that. I'm going to share my thoughts, my feelings, my ideas, right? To be completely honest with you guys, I haven't really wanted to dig too deep into this. I think when you look at your day-to-day, and if you let this kind of stuff just consume your life altogether, it becomes a pretty miserable lifestyle. But before I get into it this week, you guys, we are a sponsored podcast. I do want to make sure I stop and take the opportunity to say a very, very big thank you to Custom Night Vision. You guys, they are supporter, proud sponsor, right, of the Prepared Mindset Podcast. You can head on over to their website, customnightvision.com, and you can check out all the stuff that they have available for you there. If you're looking to get into your first set of night vision, if you already have night vision, you're looking for an upgrade, perhaps you have your device and you're looking for your supporting gear and equipment. They carry the entire lineup of Team Wendy helmets, whether that's bump, carbon fiber bump, if you want just like a little bit nicer, a little bit lighter lid, all the way through the ballistic options, the super light ballistic options, and more. Again, customnightvision.com, the nice part. If you are looking for a bucket, and I've had several people reach out to me with those questions, Custom actually includes the discount code in the description, so you can head on over to Custom Night Vision. You can check out the helmet section. You can get the code. It knocks off like 28%, almost a third off of the price. Guarantee you guys are not going to find it new anywhere else cheaper on the internet. But if you're also looking at getting into your device, right, if you're buying your first single tube, something like a PVS-14 or the Talon housing from Nocturne Industries, I think they still even have some Tonto housings available, right? Then, you know, the Talon being the replacement, the improvement, if you will, right, in the Nocturne lineup for that. Or, you know, I think it's the RVM-14. There's a ruggedized PVS-14 version that's being released by AB Night Vision or has been out, right? They have all of those single tube options and they have dual tube options available as well. So if you're looking to just buy once, cry once, get into a fantastic set of binocular night vision. Again, head over to customnightvision.com. Right there on the homepage, they have two big blue buttons. They have a monocular builder and a binocular builder. You can pick if you want one tube or two tubes. You can pick the glass you want, the optics you want, right? So if you want some great RPO 4.0 optics on your unit, nice and lightweight, or if you just want some mil-spec stuff just to get you by, you can pick all of that. You can pick your white phosphor, your green phosphor, Elbit, L3, Photonis, whatever have you, and of course the housing that you want, the manual gain, whatever have you. Again, guys, head over to customnightvision.com. Check all of that out for yourself. Let them know that Austin sent you from Prepared Mindset. They're going to take fantastic care of you. Now, we got through the pleasantries. Let's just dive in here, moving through it quick. These sit rep discussions, I don't like to get it up close to an hour. I've had a couple in the past that do. And there were other things that I think we can talk about right now. Surely we have our own tensions here domestically in the United States with the ongoing, with ICE, right? We just had the State of the Union address from President Trump, and we saw our entire Democratic Party, I shouldn't say entire, because you did have a couple holdouts like Fetterman, right, who did stand and applaud for things that he felt appropriately to applaud. But we still continue to see that gigantic rift and that gigantic divide. The State of the Union, I don't think was, I don't know if it was a tremendous win the way that some people would like to celebrate it. I also don't want to sit here and say it was a tremendous failure for the first year in office for President Donald Trump in his second term. I think that there were many promises made. There were many statements made on the campaign trail that we're really not seeing. Like, guys, I'll be honest with you. I think the economy is starting to turn back around, but as somebody who has worked in finance for, you know, closer than not to two decades here, it's a slow turn with that ship, right? We're not just going to see a giant spike in the economy overnight, but you do see some small changes starting. You know, rate cuts are always a good thing for the American people. You know, if you want to see us climb back to where we were pre-COVID. And I will say, I think in my personal opinion, I think COVID, and I don't want to get into like the the conspiracies behind COVID, because there's a ton, right? There's so many. We can go down so many rabbit holes. I'm going to try and stay out of those. I will say, I think it was an artificial deflation to the economy. And when I say artificial, I mean it was man-made. All of it's man-made, but there were certain things that were done to specifically stunt the economy for specific reasons, which we don't have to get into here, but we are starting to come back from that. That's the important part. I think we're starting to come back. I think we're starting to see people in better financial situations, which means that from an overall preparedness standpoint, tying this all together, right, because that's why we're here, you can do more. You can spend a little bit more. You can do a little bit more. You have a little bit more time. You have to work a little bit less to make ends meet, which means you have time for training. You have time and money available for preparing and doing more things for your family. So in the event that something like this happens again, right, where either the economy takes a downturn or, you know, whatever have you, right, forced shelter and all that stuff, you're in a better place, right? Because we've all lived through it. It's kind of like the survivors of the Great Depression, right, and the canned goods. Now, hopefully we don't ever get to that point. You know, that's certainly not my hope. But you guys get the concept, hopefully, that having lived through it, having understand where you would do things differently puts us in a position to, in fact, do those things differently should they repeat themselves. So hopefully the upswing to the economy, right, the rate cuts and things like that, I do hope that those things continue and that we are in a better place when we have this conversation in an additional year, looking at the second State of the Union address from President Donald Trump. Again, his second term in office, he cannot seek re-election, right? And some people are very happy about that. A lot of people, even on, I'll say, our side, I'm using air quotes here, our side of the aisle, are they are happy about that, right? Because a lot of people we've not seen stuff done in the last several weeks, right? The Epstein files coming out redacted or unredacted in a lot of ways, right? We're seeing action taken overseas in other countries. The former Prince Andrew, right, being arrested. It was Norway's former prime minister. I think it was Norway. I could be wrong on the country, but it was a former prime minister of a European nation who was named specifically in those files. Being arrested, right? Once he had kind of had that, I don't think it's diplomatic immunity, maybe it was, but that immunity of sorts, right, was stripped of him because he left that position. He was no longer protected. He has been arrested. And there were also comments made out in the international media about certain political figures here in the United States that, you know, I think it might have been Pam Bondi. Don't quote me on that one, because honestly, guys, I try not to pay too much attention to this. I pick up bits and pieces. It is so incredibly depressing when you look at the state of affairs with the Epstein files, with famous Americans, political leadership in our country. Things are incredibly bad in that regard. And comments being made, if we indicted everybody, we would tear down the entire system. I think that's, I'm paraphrasing that, but that was quoted, that statement that I just paraphrased from Attorney General Pam Bondi. And a lot of people, it's a meme now, right? A lot of people would be in favor for that. Let's just rip it down. I would be in favor of that, with the understanding, if possible, that we have enough safeguards in place that everyday life would not fucking collapse in this country in a terrible and anarchistic way. I would be fine removing a greater majority of our elected officials if they were in fact named in those files for the absolutely disgusting, heinous shit that they did. But I digress, you guys. We could spend hours talking about that. What's going on today that is of the utmost importance and relevance, I think, that we have to talk about is that the United States has, along with its allies, we have attacked Iran. And a lot of people are very concerned with what this could mean. We've been posturing this, right, for several weeks. If you guys have been following this, I know there have been troop movements. Again, resources, support has been put in place around the region. We've maintained military bases around the Middle East, even after, right, our withdrawal. I don't want to say retreat, although that might be an apt term for it, right? Our withdrawal from Afghanistan during the Biden administration. And also, that was a plan, just to be completely transparent with that, right? Because a lot of people get really bent out of shape. They're like, oh, this is, you know, that all fell apart. It was all Biden's fault. Well, yes, I think it was handled poorly, and that was the Biden administration's fault. The plan to withdraw from Afghanistan in that region, right, was something that was introduced during the first Trump administration, to withdraw our troops to, I believe, right, to try and provide some sort of stability to that region was the overall goal, right? Like, hey, you guys have your own government, you need to run your own country type thing. Let's withdraw our troops. Let's stop putting money over there. Ironically, here we are in the second Trump administration going back to that part of the world and targeting nuclear sites in Iran. And Iran has retaliated, right? So I'm looking at, you know, headlines here on the Fox News website, right? Like, just looking at, you know, Muslim nations turn on Iran after the regime's retaliatory strikes in their territories. So basically, because of the attacks on the Iranian nuclear sites, Iran then also launched missile strikes at those countries that are hosting or host countries, rather, right, to American military installations. And because of that, that is seen as a strike on those countries, therefore turning them against Iran if they weren't already allied with the U.S., which they are, obviously, if they're allowing us to keep our bases there. But if you guys have studied any of the politics around that region, you know that it's kind of a two-handed thing, right? Like, you got a relationship with the U.S., but you also have to maintain some kind of relationship with Iran just because they're the regional superpower. And you have to, right? It's like your neighbors, right? Like, you might not love all of them, but you got to be amicable with them because they live next to you and everyone's got lives to lead and nobody wants more problems than they already have, right? And so we see this going on, right? And I'm already seeing stuff, right, on social media pop up from folks like, oh yeah, before we got any, and I'm not, to be clear, I'm not siding on one side or the other. I am just telling you guys what I have seen because I want to put this out there so we can start addressing some of it first. So I'm going to say it first, and understand that that's not indicative of me agreeing with one side or the other. Seeing things posted, oh, before we had a single Epstein file arrest, right? Before we, you know, it's like a bunch of different things. Like, before Trump did any of these things, we're already back at war. And I see that stuff. You see things like this is being done at the behest of Israel. This is, I've seen some really heinous political cartoons being shared of Netanyahu basically bending Trump over the desk of the Oval Office. We're just doing what we're told. Everyone assumes that Israel's behind this. I do find it a little bit weird. I have to say this. I do find it weird that while Israel is at war with Hezbollah, right, which has been an ongoing issue, right, the whole deal with the American hostages that were taken, right, by Hezbollah, right, and that situation, which was promised to be resolved, we were promised to get the American hostages out by the Biden administration, which I'm pretty sure Donald Trump was the one that did the most good with that, and then credit was taken. But that conflict is still ongoing. We're still seeing stuff shared in the media about the bombings and the missile attacks and the conflict. And it's rough, right? Because, and I'm not siding with either Hezbollah or Israel, but what I am pointing out is that it's very easy for the media to sensationalize. Oh, Israel's doing these things badly because they bombed this site. It's like, well, that's guerrilla warfare, though. Like, I'm not saying, hey, Israel might be completely in the wrong here, but I think we have to be fair and to draw a fair conclusion from this. You have to look at it from the lens that is logical and makes sense, that in guerrilla warfare, civilian sites are used. They're utilized and leveraged. Oh, they won't bomb a church or a mosque, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to hide inside of it, because now we know their military has a vested interest not to attack it. You know, because you start getting in the psychological side of things, you start getting into the media campaign side of things, right? And then, okay, well, we know that's a stronghold for them. We're going to attack it. And then the media spins around and goes, oh, look at how evil they are. They bombed a mosque, they blew up a church, they killed children. And yes, those are all bad things. I'm not advocating for any of those. Again, guys, I want to be very, very clear when I put this out there that, like, look at it from how warfare is fought. Because a lot of those same things were said about U.S. servicemen coming home from Vietnam and the war in Iraq and things like that in Afghanistan. Because in war, it gets ugly. And this is why we had less issues with World War II than we did with Korea and Vietnam, is because the introduction of the media, right? The media campaign makes it much, much, much more difficult to control the narrative, to make the decisions to fight a war in a way that it needs to be fought. But I digress. I don't want to spend the whole time talking about that. What I do want to continue talking about, though, is what we're seeing basically with these attacks, right? So I'm just going to read a couple of headlines that I found on, again, this is all on Fox News. I'm just going to use this as jumping off points for the conversation. None of this are my words. I don't even know who wrote this, but, global divide, world split as Canada, Australia back the strikes while France warns of consequences. And that just, I guess I'm just going to comment on the headline, which could be misleading, but it wouldn't surprise me either that France, right? I mean, the jokes on France write themselves, right? We don't have to we don't have to point that out, that France is sitting here going, oh, there's going to be consequences. Well, yes, I think that it probably goes without saying that any military action will have a consequence, right? So equal and opposite reactions, things like that, right? Hey, we attacked Iran. And by we, it could be coalition of, you know, United States and allied nations, right? So who are we going to upset? Obviously, Iran doesn't like it. And then Iran's allies, whoever those may be. Now, the interesting part is that, you know, you think about this all 80s action movie style, and it's like, oh, who's their first ally? Oh, Russia, because Russia's been supplying them with arms. And in the 80s and early 90s, that may have been true. But what's interesting is when you look at the list of allies that could potentially step to Iran for support in this, I don't think you're going to see Russia do much. That's assuming that they are an ally in this instance, because Russia's fighting a war with Ukraine still. We're still seeing that going on, and we're still seeing a lot of issues. Now, and then this is, again, this is the media part of this that makes it difficult, is that's become kind of just like background noise. Like, we're all, you know, I mean, as much as I hate the stupid ass, you know, Facebook banners, putting up the Ukrainian flag from people who don't understand the conflict and all that other stuff, right? Oh, I stand with Ukraine. Let's send all of our money over to Ukraine, which we did, right? We sent billions and billions and billions and billions of our taxpayer dollars. And you want to talk about, we mentioned the economy in the very beginning and the artificial deflation during COVID, sending all that money out of this country, driving down like all everything that we needed here to be good for us to continue to build out of the recession that was created. Nope, we're just going to send all that money overseas to Ukraine. And now we have to work three times as hard to get ourselves back out of that hole that was dug. And that wasn't our decision. When I say our, I mean taxpayers. That was not the taxpayers' decision. And this is the fucked part about our elected system, is that these people are elected leaders. They are supposed to be first and foremost, as our government is designed, they're supposed to be elected leaders that are representative of the voices of their constituents. And that just hasn't been true. It just hasn't for decades now. You know, maybe in the 90s was probably the last time you really saw that. But now you can run media campaigns. You run a campaign by smearing your opponent. That's the new standard in 2026, right? And has been for a while. It's not new, but that is the standard. You don't win on your merits. You win on the fault of your competitor. That's unfortunately the way it is ran. So we have people who are sitting in office who are incumbent leadership, you know, people like Mitch McConnell and the list goes on, Nancy Pelosi, these people, and on the Republican side too, you know, it's equals on Democrat, Republican elected leadership on both sides. Once they've become a recognized name, the American people are too busy dealing with processing, you know, all the sensationalized media that's put out there to actually take the time to research candidates. And then you get the people that go out there, right, during elections and go, oh, well, my vote doesn't count. I'm not going to give. And I love this. I absolutely fucking love this. And some of you guys are going to shut it off right after this. And you know what? I don't give a rat's patootie about it. That's right, a rat's patootie. I refuse to give power to immoral men by voting. Okay, well, then you are giving them power, because do you know what happens by a non-vote? it's essentially a vote for the incumbent. That's how these elections work. That's how we have career politicians, guys, who spend 40 fucking years in elected office doing ultimately nothing except just rolling over their financial value year after year after year after year. And everybody points out the insider trading issues, and then, oh, look, there's a big global catastrophe. So let's just take the media lens off of that, stop pushing to hold our elected leadership accountable financially, right? And stop examining those decisions being made. And it's like, okay, cool. So we've seen this over and over and over again. And just as we're starting to see certain parts of industry start to look like they might weaken and start to fail, right? And you think about terms like too big to fail, things like that, that, oh, look, hey, we're launching into a conflict overseas. All of a sudden, all of those big contractors now will have fresh contracts renewed. Maybe not huge ones. I don't think we're launching into a war. That the war declaration thing is a whole congressional deal, right? But are we going to need more ammo, aircraft, boats, everything in between, night vision, drones? Yeah. So again, and this is where I personally have, you know, I'm a little bit conflicted because, like, I work in finance, so I kind of understand it. And in some ways, I think that war from a economic standpoint can help to rejuvenate a country. We saw it with FDR. We saw it with World War II, right? If we had not entered that war and had to pump the economy up the way we did with building jeeps and bombs and guns and tanks and everything, would our country have rebounded as quickly as it did? Probably not. And I'm looking at that, you guys, from a purely economic standpoint. So please don't misunderstand that. I'm just pointing that out. That will we potentially see an economic upswing of sorts from this? Maybe not immediately. Maybe not. I could be totally wrong. I don't know the answers to this kinds of shit. I have friends that work as financial advisors that, oh, hey, I'm moving everything to cash and doing this, and I'm rebalancing my portfolio because I think we're going to see a downswing. And it's like, but you don't fucking know that. If people could really, truly, accurately predict market changes, we would see a very different world. We really would. I mean, we can already kind of predict most market changes. And if you could for sure understand how the entire, you know, S&P or Dow was going to move, it'd be an entirely different game. But let's not get into that. So I'm looking at this stuff. I'm trying to understand, like, why this happened, why we made this attack, why now? You know, maybe it's like, oh, as soon as we get through the State of the Union and we have that behind us, so we can say our first year we did this, this, and this, how are we going to start off our second year? And for me, I kind of get like this weird reminiscent flashbacks of like watching the show The West Wing or Madam President and things like that, or Madam Secretary, I'm sorry, Madam Secretary. And The West Wing, they talk about this is crucial for the president's, you know, second term or second year and blah, 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 and all that stuff, right? And you see the political pundits and the advisors and things, and it's all a game, right? It's all a strategy to you know, work out how the legacy is going to be carved. Now history is going to remember this administration and this term and blah, 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 blah. So we start off our second year with a bang by attacking Iran. Now, do I think that there's more at play here? Probably. I can already hear every fucking political, liberal, Democrat, idiot, expert, I'm using air quotes when I say expert, getting ready to drop social media statuses about how Orange Man bad, he's picking up Bush Jr.'s playbook and going back over there for the oil. And it's like, well, we actually had pretty good oil prices here until the Biden administration on like day one shut down the pipeline. So I'm not an expert in futures trading, and I'm not an expert in commodities and oil and everything, but I do hate hearing that because it's the most played out and overused argument. We're just over there for oil. Well, yes, maybe we could be. I don't fucking know. None of us really know, right? We can speculate all day long. Iran, it plays a big part in the whole conversation with OPEC and the, is it oil producing something countries or something like that. That's what OPEC stands for. When you look at what they set the price of a barrel of oil at, and that whole region, right? There's a lot that goes into this. You're starting to see things unfold here that maybe we don't like. Hey, this is how you're going to bring the economy back, by sending us to war, sending our boys, our men, our military over to another foreign nation to fight. And we just got out of the GWAT, 3-4 years ago, truly, you know, a handful of years ago. I mean, the fighting was over, but we were still overseas. We were still seeing people going deployed over there. We were seeing, and then we were seeing, like, in my opinion, a weird perversion of our military and our National Guard, where, the military requires federal oversight and approval to do this, this, and this. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to send National Guard units overseas. The National Guard, which is supposed to be activated to help take care of our home, but because it requires a different kind, a less stringent kind of oversight, we'll go deploy National Guard units instead because we can get away with doing that. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? So when we have emergencies here at home, like Minnesota, with the rioting, with ICE and all the issues and everything going there, and people are talking about deploying the National Guard, we had National Guardsmen deployed in D.C., right? We had guardsmen attacked and murdered in Washington, D.C., right? So what about New York, right? So when we look at the National Guard, deploying them and everything, oh, they're not there. Sorry, that unit's not available. We have to bring in National Guard from out of state to respond to issues because, oh, that's right, we sent them overseas to go take care of this thing to push political issues with whatever agenda somebody has behind the scenes. And it becomes very frustrating. You know, and I'm sure you guys are frustrated too. I would hope you're frustrated hearing about this. We all wake up and everyone's heard whispers, everyone's had ideas. I just had a buddy, thank God, he was deployed overseas, Army Reserve. He came back about 2 weeks ago. I think 2 weeks ago, I messaged him. I was like, hey man, you back stateside? He goes, yep, I'm in Indiana or Indianapolis. I just landed. I'll be home in a couple days, you know, whatever. We have a course, a private class set up with Core Vision Training next weekend. Or a week from today, actually, the time of me recording this. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I love you, man. I look forward to seeing you. Like, and I am. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But his initial response, I had messaged him, you know, a month or two before that, and a month, you know, later, and, you know, within the last 12 weeks, a couple different times, right? I don't know if I'll be coming home. It depends if we move on Iran and they, you know, redeploy us or tell us that we're needed here and then we can't come home. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty fucking shitty. And I get it. That's what you sign up for with the military. I understand. But, you know, so much of what used to be with men joining the military, which was, I want to join to protect my country. I want to fight for my country. I want to fight to protect my way of life, keep my family safe and all those things. That's almost like a pipe dream at this point because we're not deploying military for those reasons. And I get it. And here's the thing I do want to say about that is, like, in certain instances, yes, strategic moves against these other countries are keeping us safer. Iran has been a nuclear problem for a long time. You know, you have a lot of countries and everyone, like, at least do the polite thing and abide by the request to stand down your nuclear arsenal. Do I think, like, the US and Russia, oh, we signed a peace accord, we dismantled our nuclear arsenal. Do I think that we still have nuclear capabilities? Like, yes. Yeah, I absolutely fucking do. I think we just all do the polite thing. I will say that Iran's posturing and stuff, it's always the one of concern because if you guys do reading over the last 50 years plus, honestly, going back even to, like, Operation Nimrod, which was the embassy takeover in London, right? And I think it was the Iranian embassy, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm pretty sure it was. Ayatollah Khomeini has been tied into every notable terror attack or terror incident in some way, shape, or form for the last 50 plus years, even longer. That regime is one of great concern. You know, and when you look at fighting terrorism around the globe, I think there's many conversations to be had. I think it's a very convenient lens and talking point to say the Middle East is the hotbed of all terrorism, which, I mean, for sure, if you were to heat map out the activities, yes, that would be the quote-unquote the hotbed. But when we look at terrorism, there's also so many other considerations, like the cartels in Mexico and South America, right? What's going on in Russia and Ukraine and parts of Europe, right? Let's not even get into the humanitarian problems and terrorism issues that exist in the continent of Africa, right? And that's just terrorism. That's not human trafficking. It's like, the world's a fucked up place, guys. The world's a really fucked up place. So when we talk about this, like, is removing this regime potentially, and we haven't, I don't think, right? I don't think we've invaded yet, and I hope that we don't, but if it is truly a planned regime change where we're going to send troops in, and hopefully not just us, because I think it would be a major, major misstep to have the United States, you know, come in and fight another battle on behalf of partner nations that don't have the military resources to do so for themselves. And make no mistake, past the concerns on nuclear arms, I think a lot of the concerns that nation in that region, I'm sorry, of the nation of Iran are that of its neighboring countries. So yes, I think Israel plays a large part for whatever reason behind all of this. I don't know what. Call it a gut feeling. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure that stuff out. I'm sure if I sat here and like dug on the internet, I would find probably some really weird shit on Reddit that could like either support or destroy that argument. You know, I don't know. But it does speak to a pattern that anytime we have major large scale, you know, conflict in the last 40 years, going back to, you know, the mid 80s, the early 90s, like the United States steps in, right? So we saw it with Desert Storm. We saw the global war on terror, right? Why did we go into Iraq? Oh, because Saddam had to go. Like, okay, were we really the ones that need to do it? Why are we always the ones that have to step in and do it? How come we don't see the United Nations mobilize and step in and remove these regimes? Did anyone ever think about that? And I'm sure people have, right? But like, and who bankrolls the UN? It's the United States. The thought of what would happen if the United States backed out of like all of these other, we left the World Health Organization, right? If we actually left and stopped bankrolling the UN and NATO and whatever else, and then just actually readjusted tax rates to give that money back to the American people, holy shit. The lifestyles that many of us would be able to lead, because our tax dollars would actually be in our pockets and not in, you know, being put into foreign aid and foreign agendas. I'm not saying, you know what? And like, I'm not even saying we shouldn't do foreign aid. I think foreign aid to a degree, right? To a degree, hear me when I say that. I think foreign aid to a degree is a great thing. I think that it's, you know, it's an awesome thing to be able to help countries that are in need of help, you know? But not every one of them. We can only do so much. When you guys start looking at like political spending and, you know, the government pork, I hate that phrase. I fucking hate it, mostly because people use dumb voices when they say it. And it's just misappropriation. You know, if you want to speak on something like politics, to me, politics is an educated man's game of sorts, right? I'm not saying you have to have a college degree. What I'm saying is, you should, if you want to have people listen to you, if you want to have a respectable dialogue, or even just a respectable difference of opinion, you should be well-read and be articulate on your position and your beliefs. And when I say educated, that's what I mean. You are educated on those subjects that you're speaking on. Politics should be an educated man's game. It should be an educated man's discussion, right? Unfortunately, that's a fucking rarity. People just, oh, well, hey, it's government spending. Oh, we need to get all the money out of politics. Okay, well, I'll take, you know, I'll see that happening as soon as we start mass reproducing fucking unicorns after we capture the one that we can't seem to find. Like, it's just shit that will never fucking happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't take steps to limit it, and there's all sorts of things being discussed in that regard. Oh, we should limit, you know, term limits, limit contributions to campaigns, which are campaign laws. Here's an even better idea. How about impose actual criminal penalties on campaign violations? No, no, because it's just too easy to slap everybody on the hand and go, well, we're going to fine you $250,000. Oh, here you go. Write you a check right now. What else you want? And that's it. When you start seeing that kind of stuff not being effective and we just keep rolling with it, that's really the upsetting part, I think. We could probably all agree on that. But let's get back on track here. What I will, what will be interesting to see is just like every other major political change or action that has come about in the last probably 10 years. It's about 10 years, maybe a little bit less. 10 years ago, Donald Trump was getting ready to take the office. I think 16 was his first year. Yeah, because then it'd be 20 and then 24. Yeah, so about a decade, because people just love to hate Donald Trump, and some of it's justified, some of it's not. I would love to see where the social media campaigns take us with this. Oh, free Iran. Cool. Okay. How many people are just going to go without question, go stand? Because we've seen a lot of people, oh, you're just a bigot and a racist. Like, well, no, I'm Christian. I'm a Catholic. And while I don't personally discriminate, I do see why a lot of people are upset that we're adopting so many Muslim cultural traits and behaviors in cities close to my home. Things like forcing women not to show their bodies, physically assaulting and in some cases killing women because that's what the Muslim religion dictates and people feel empowered to live their life that way in America, where separation of church and state is supposed to be paramount here. And it was always a standard that was held for Christianity and for Catholicism, right, specifically. But we're going to say, oh, it's okay. You can go ahead and murder your own daughter because she kissed a boy. That kind of thing, right? And, you know, here's the thing. Maybe if she wasn't so desperate to get away from you because you're a terrible fucking parent because culturally that's how you treat women, maybe things would be different. I'm not saying everybody that follows that religion behaves that way, but there's a lot that do. And it's very scary when you think about our country adopting those principles and those ways of life. Look at what's happening in New York City right now. That's a really, really good example of what we could start to expect, I think, in many regards, right? But, you know, as we look at this attack, it leads me to believe we're going to see a lot of people just unilaterally back Muslim nations because they want to be opposite of Trump. They just want to be opposite. Whatever he does is bad. So therefore, I must be on the other side of it without even knowing what I'm advocating for. That's my biggest problem with that. And I think we're going to see a lot of that shit pop up on social media. Like I said, all of the uneducated liberal idiots, you know, and some educated conservative idiots too, who are just going to start spouting stuff off left and right. And it just shows you where it's like why so many people have abandoned Facebook for one. And I think a lot of people are starting to avoid Twitter because it's so stressful. Like, can we just be real for a second and just talk to each other here, guys? Life is too short to spend every waking moment worried about who you're going to offend because of what you think and what you believe. And we've been conditioned to just, oh, I'm not going to share that and post that because then the outrage mob that lives on Facebook is going to jump all over me. At some point, I would encourage everyone to say, fuck it. Share what you think and share what you feel. And if those people don't have enough respect for you as a person, and you've known them for however many years to know that you're a good person, you just feel differently about something, then they were never that good a friend to begin with. It's not like you're saying you're widespread against, you know, women being able to vote. I've seen that shit shared around as a joke. Oh, repealed the 19th. # end women's suffrage. We've suffered enough. Like, yeah, ha 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 ha. That stuff was funny, except that now that stuff actually has legs. That's the crazy part. Social media, for all the great things it delivers us, access to information, right? Like, we talk about training stuff on here all the time. Going to social media platforms like Instagram, like YouTube, even to some degree, LinkedIn now has become a little bit. You get access to great information there, but it also comes with a really, really heavy price, which is that you are looped in with those that share similar political opinions, even if you believe it in different ways. The outrage mob does not care. And I think we're going to see with this attack on Iran, I think it's going to be a huge divisional issue for so many people for so many fucking reasons. And I think a lot of people won't even know why. They really won't even know why. They'll just see that their friends are all saying it. And I've seen people say that stuff with issues and items like gun control. And when you actually ask them, do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand what removing the right to bear a firearm would do to our country? Do you even understand the data, the percentages, the homicide rates and the murder rates that you're quoting? And I've actually, I swear to God, you guys, I'm not making this up. I have seen somebody I know respond with, well, there's an awful lot of people on my side of the argument with my feelings, so I think I'm just fine where I am. And it just illustrates a complete and total lack of understanding, no desire to understand, no willingness to even be proven wrong and see what is actually the right answer. You don't care. You just want to be validated in your feelings, and we let emotions win time after time after time. And this will be exactly the same. Mark my words. So I think, you know, the strikes are the first step, right? They always are. The missile strikes are the first step. I will be a little bit surprised if this is as far as it goes. I am interested to see, though, where we take it next. Are we putting boots on the ground? Are our troops going to be deployed? Is it going to be just U.S. forces? Are we actually going to see other countries contribute to this? What's going to happen? Is there going to be a major political assassination? Because that will destabilize that region faster than anything else. Is if somebody's leader gets offed. And I don't think we're going to see like a Maduro style raid here. I don't think Delta's going to fly in the night and go abduct anyone. But I'm interested to see. And I don't know. I feel like you guys, maybe I owe you a little bit of an apology on this one. I feel like I've just ranted so much on this. But it just brings forward a lot of feelings to the surface, you know, because we're living through this, right? So when these things impact the economy, our daily lives, if you have sons and daughters that are in the armed services and are trying to, you know, just do their thing, and then you got to go fight another war for the political elite, then it's upsetting, man. It really is. You know, like I said, I have a friend that very nearly was at the end of his deployment and was going to be, it's not really stop loss, but he was going to be like redeployed or shifted or whatever, or reassigned over to a different portion of the globe because of this. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens with it. If you guys leave a comment if you think I'm just missing the mark completely with this. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So I always like put out there, hey, go check out the YouTube channel. If you guys think I'm off base on the YouTube, like leave me a comment. Some of you guys do. Some of you guys are really great about it, and I really appreciate the discussion and the alternate points of view. Having that dialogue back and forth, like if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll own it. I've had it on a couple occasions, you know. I've also had some really bad, you know, YouTube comment section is what it is. I've had some really bad interactions with people there. But check out the platform, see what we're doing, man. You know, YouTube, obviously the podcast. If you guys are listening to this, you're already on the podcast. Hit the subscribe button. It helps us out a ton. But also Instagram, right? Instagram, I'm actually getting a lot of traction lately. It's starting to scare me because I feel like the bottom's just going to fall out. You know what I mean? It's like you ever just have things in life go just a little bit too well for just a little bit too long and you start to get weary. You're like, All right, when am I going to get slapped in the back of the head with reality here? You know what I'm saying? So if you guys are tracking what I'm saying with all of this, you know, we'll see. Because social media, I feel like, is just, it's one of the biggest and most, how can I put this? It's a key component to this whole conversation, the media campaign behind all of this. Because again, political shit, man, elected leaders want to stay elected. So the only way you lose your job is doing shit egregiously and not playing the media game well. So I think we're going to see a lot over social media. We're going to see some very targeted campaigns designed to make people feel a very specific kind of way or pair of ways, right, on one side and the other side of the aisle, so to speak. But only time will tell what this means. We're going to see what the market does. So we'll see how the American economy responds to this. My first thought is like, hey, another war. Somebody's actually going to buy that new set of night vision that those companies came out with at SHOT Show, right? That, you know, maybe people thought, oh, this is going to be a complete bust. Well, hey, now we have just created a large demand for some of these things. And there you go. So I don't know. I'm sure we're going to see a lot. So at any rate, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out and checking out this edition of the Sunday Sit Rep. If you have questions, as always, you can feel free to reach out or leave them in the comment section. Tell me I'm wrong. I want to hear I'm wrong, you guys. I want to hear it from you. If nothing else, hopefully you guys are, you know, entertained. We'll be back to our normally scheduled programming in just a couple days. Have some really cool guests and individuals lined up for the month of March that I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity to sit down with. So thank you, guys. Stay safe out there. Stay aware, as always. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.